Unmute myself here. Karen, can you hear me? Karen? There's Lisa. Lisa, you're
Hi,
muted.
I'm here. How are you?
Good. Karen, you're muted.
There you go. Made it. Hi, John. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Well, Lisa, you're really timely for somebody who thought the meeting was on Thursdays.
Yeah. I thought it was last week, last Thursday. But it's the second Wednesday of the month. So, I'm on time.
It's been that way. I mean, seemed to have worked out for everybody. If your schedule was really different, we could probably change it.
No. Perfectly fine.
Good.
Perfectly fine.
So I'm sitting in my condo here in Park City. It's a total mess, having a brand new fire suppression system put in. Chaparral, which used to be right across the street from you guys down there at City Hall, is doing it. It's now almost a year, and it's got two or three more months to go yet. So, it's really an experience.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. Looks like Roger made it.
Jennifer.
Yeah, it looks like a different Jennifer.
Yeah.
Roger, you're muted.
Roger, muted.
Laptop. I'm borrowing Jennifer's laptop.
Okay. Hey, Tyler, you're muted too.
I know, I wasn't talking though.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
Well, before the meeting started, I wanted to know how many rounds we got in today. In the simulator, of course, not on the course.
How many rounds of what?
I wish the simulators were open. We could have had a few people going, but
too bad.
We drove by just to make sure, but it looked pretty white.
Yeah, the putting greens cleared off now. I think we'll be open tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, okay, good.
We've got a big group coming at 5, so that's what I'm pushing for. But it just depends on, it's supposed to be 50 degrees tomorrow, probably 44, 45 degrees up at the golf course. So we had a lot of melt today. I mean, I could hear it coming off the roof all day. So
as long as it was coming off and not coming through.
We got hit pretty hard yesterday. We didn't get much in this little storm. Whatever came, little flurries didn't stick around. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the shame is it's not going to warm up for about a week.
Yeah, which there's both sides. I really want to be open so we can make some money, but we also need a ton of moisture to get us through this year. So I'm kind of almost, let's bring on the rain and snow Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we'll play golf the rest of the week. So,
yep.
There you go.
Well, there's pent up demand. So, it'll catch up, you know, just tell some of those tea times just before dusk and let them go into dark.
Yeah. Well, here's Ken. I think Ron is joining as well. We'll give maybe Ron just another minute or so to hop on. And then I'll let you take it away, John.
Okay. So it looks like Court has joined us.
Yes, sir. Good to see you all.
Court, how are you?
Hello.
I'm happy.
Why?
Because that's just a good way to be. Because we have Tyler running things.
There you go.
There you go. How's Boondoggle doing?
We're doing well, thank you. Our lives are, we still can't find the help we need, but... these kids these days have been trained over 2 years to not either need to work or want to work. So we can't find any, you know, first time employees, but we're closed 2 days a week and still doing fine when we're open.
Yeah, good. Good. So, you know, most of the fast food chains and all, I mean, they're just desperately automating to do it. But, you know, an operation like yours is not really that automatable, you know, but
believe me, if we could automate it, we would, because it's a struggle.
Ken, you're muted, in case you wondered.
Thanks. I muted myself in case some noise happened around me. So, but it's good to be with everybody. I haven't been to your meeting for a while, so
great to see you. Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and so yeah, great to be here. How's everybody? I mean,
everybody looks alive and probably well, I guess.
Yeah.
Season, but I see it's, you know, just after five, so maybe we should get the show on the road. So I'd like to welcome everybody here, and hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at the meeting minutes from February 9th. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? If not, I would take a motion for approval.
Motion to approve minutes.
I second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we got the toughest part of the agenda out of the way. Tyler, would you take over with our revenue update?
Okay, perfect. Let me get the screen over here. Can you still see that? I moved to the other screen. Hopefully you can still see that there.
Yeah, we can see it now.
Okay. Just an overview of the agenda. I'm going to show a couple of screens here with lots of numbers. I kind of want you to focus on the bottom. So I've got them organized by fiscal year. So you'll see this current fiscal year towards the bottom, and then obviously up from there. I'm going to go through the yearly, show you where we're at, and then I'll jump over just specifically to this year to show you where we're at in a few key item areas. So bottom of the screen, we're doing really well, even with less playable days than last year. So far, $1.2 million in revenue halfway through May, April, sorry. These are through April 10th for the fiscal numbers. So I haven't added yesterday or the day before, but that gives you an idea. $74,000 for 10 days in April. And you look at this historical average, and especially over the last 10 years, and we're almost at average already. So I'm not sure we'll get to the historic $222,000 we did last April, but we'll be awfully close. And I apologize as I cough through this. I have just had an awful cold for the last 3 weeks and went back to the doctor again yesterday and told me just to keep going. Not much we can do for you. So I'll probably cough here and there, so I apologize. Rounds-wise, even back to October, we've been down in rounds looking at last year, and we've kind of been steady. It's about 2,000 rounds below last year, so I'm hopeful if we can get to the 65,000 rounds by the end of the year, that kind of gets us back into the historic highs of Eaglewood back, prior to the recession, 2009, 2010. So if you look, 2008, 65,000, 2007, 70. So I want to be in that range. And certainly we're already at a five-year average with 44 with 2.5 months left. So in good shape. This just gives you an idea of where we're at this April compared to last April. So we're $84,000 ahead still. Even with being down 2,577 rounds. So those two columns there, first one's last fiscal year through April 10th, and then that second row there is this fiscal year. So revenue on the right and then rounds there in the middle. Merchandise I wanted to touch on, it has been, this has consumed my brain for the last 6 months. With COVID, we've had so many issues getting materials, getting equipment. And if you look at this fiscal year compared to last year, we have sold just an enormous amount of equipment. which left us over the winter really barren. But also we had a lot of equipment that I ordered for FY21 arrive in fiscal year 22. So I've had to spend more money this fiscal year to kind of keep up and to be where we're at. But as you see, we've had really good sales so far. So we're $186,000 for this fiscal year. I'm projecting we'll be at $300,000 by the end of this fiscal year. So April, I forgot to put April in there. So we're actually $9,000, almost $10,000 in April. So we're $196,000, which, another $100,000 there with May and June coming and the rest of April, we should get pretty close to $300,000. So a record year of merchandise. It's just been really fun. And I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I hear three or four times a day that, oh, you guys have an awesome shop and stuff you have in here is cool. So I know that we've spent a lot and we have a lot in the shop, but I know it'll sell and I'm comfortable with that. So this gives you an idea of where we're at in merchandise compared to last year. Last year was the record year in merchandise sales, and we're up almost $70,000 compared to last year. So it gives you an idea of just the volume that we sold end of last year and kind of where we need to be and equipment we've got coming in. So it really depleted us. I mean, I had almost no what I call hard goods. So drivers, irons, wedges, at the end of the year last year, we had almost zero, which is awesome, and hope to be the same spot this year. Okay, let's get into some construction. it has been really difficult to get contractors going. And I think it's part of the employment, contracting companies finding employees, good employees, and going. The outbuildings, I kind of generaled myself. So I worked with all the contractors that worked on our two restrooms on the golf course. And then we'll jump over to the event center and clubhouse. Starting on the left is what the restrooms used to look like. In the middle there, it's kind of halfway through the project. And then on the right there, it's kind of our finished product. So we redid the roofs, restained the poles, repainted the buildings. New drinking fountains on there. And then this is the snack shack on 7 and 11. I didn't take any interior pictures. They're supposed to be doing final cleanup there. But if most of you remember, we had that room was filled with mold, mildew. We had to get it remediated. So we've worked through that. Looks really nice in there. We've got a new ice machine. And that should be open. I think I have scheduled for the 24th, so about a week and a half. The snack shack should be open for us. So I think that will help.
Yeah, they look really good too.
Yeah, and we redid the restroom. So we got new toilets. The old ones were leaking, and then new faucets, two of them were leaking. And then we re-epoxied the floor. So it looks nice. They did a really good job. And credit to Weston and Nick on our maintenance crew for their help on a lot of that stuff. So. The golf simulators, this is a couple of days ago, but they've torn out the offices. They're framing walls tomorrow. They're projecting an end of May completion there. And I'll jump over to the schedule as we get in, but it feels and looks really nice. We've had to change some configurations with that white column right in the middle of the room. We weren't anticipating that being in the wall. We knew the beam was up above. We didn't know about that column until they had the walls torn down. So we had to kind of reorient where the simulators are going, but I think it will be nice and flow really well still. The kitchen is torn apart as well. So really focusing on that, trying to get that open and going for the George's Grill, George and Tanya, to get operating as soon as possible. They were framing in there today for the new walls. Plumbing, mechanical, electrical was in there today, rerunning and rerouting some new can lights. As soon as framing is done Friday, all the MEP, so mechanical, electrical, plumbing, will be in Monday to kind of push and get some of their stuff done. We're looking at probably a week and a half for drywall, And then a June 1st opening in there for them, if not sooner. June 1st is kind of worst case scenario right now. I'm hoping the end of the third week of May. What we're going to have to do on the, you see the left picture there, those bay windows, if you remember, are getting demoed and out onto the covered deck. So what we're having to do until the exterior is done, we're doing a temporary wall right there that will be framed up so we can pass health department inspections and be able to cook in that space before the exterior is done. So you'll see that wall come up and you'd be like, what's going on here? But it's just temporary. So okay, so construction schedule. This has been, we've had to change and reorient and work on what we're doing, but they're going to demo the deck and work on the west side and south side exterior by the deck next week. And then the roof demo and install goes in the next 2 weeks. And then kind of some later projects with the main lobby entrance and then Pro Shop Event Center will happen later. We're going to kind of stage the Pro Shop once cabinets are ready. We'll just try to not impact our operations as little as possible so we can get our new cabinets and everything in there. But my main concern right now is kitchen. We need them operating for our golf tournaments and just for general play before June. So we'll have them done. And I'm hopeful that the snack shack will be good for them and we can help alleviate some of the snacks here in the Pro Shop. on the right, it's just kind of a general completion date. So I got Snack Shack 27th. That's my worst case scenario. It really just depends on health department inspection if they deem we missed something or we have to have a re-inspection. George's Grill June 1st, roof June 1st. We're going to do a soft opening on July 15th for the simulators. And then we'll do kind of a grand opening later, June 15th. And then I'm hoping kind of around Liberty Fest, we may do a grand opening there and invite people to come just walk through. Outdoor deck, July 10th, middle of July, exterior in August. And then we'll work on the kind of latter part of the interior Pro Shop Event Center. Landscaping I've been asked about, and with where we're at with water restrictions, I think it might be best for us to wait to really get at that until the spring. We may do some plants and just kind of some ornamental things on the entrances to give us some greenery. But as far as the overall landscaping project, it'll be probably pushed out until next year. Any questions there, or thoughts or concerns? Or
just a quick question, Tyler, on the snack shack. Is that actually going to be manned?
Yes. Yeah. So they'll be running their beverage carts out of there. As well as I've been told by them that Coke is installing a soda machine there. So they'll have bottled sodas and soda machine drinks that they'll be able to sell. We're hoping we'll capture some of the foot traffic and public up here as well, just not golfers. We're going to make some signs that will hopefully attract some business down there for them.
Tyler, are you referring to walkers?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That sort of sends a mixed message.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put signs on here all along that path there. So stay off the golf course per court, but.
Here's his phone number, but please buy a drink.
Yeah. We've been back and forth on how, you know, there's that path that comes off the road that kind of goes down.
Yeah. No, I.
And towards it. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I want to help George and Tanya out as much as we can. I want them to feel like we're a good partner and get some foot traffic down there for them. So
Tyler, this is the same building as the one that you just had redone on number 7. Okay.
Yep.
Tyler,
Tyler, looking at the event center. So the event center is not going to be operational for 4.5 months after what we originally projected. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we're not fully remodeling the event center right now. I pushed it out because it was moving into our golf tournaments. And we couldn't do that with the space. So really right now, it's as it was prior to construction. We'll have our new tables, new chairs. I'm kind of having half of the audio video stuff that was going in later put in now with new TVs. So it'll feel new. It just won't have a lot of the new, you know, the new flooring, the white oak beams. And if people don't know about what we're doing later, they'll think it looks great. So
what will it be in the interim? What will it be able to host? What kind of events before it's completely finished?
We're everything. So we're doing tournaments. I've got some weddings. I have some HOA meetings in middle of May. I really haven't scheduled much until May because the prep kitchen there that's attached needs to be somewhat finished because there's a hole in the wall right now. So May 11th is our first one scheduled. And that's actually an open house for the Schmoot development that's above Eaglewood Loop. And they're doing kind of an intro welcome to Eaglewood and have some plans and lots available there. And then an HOA meeting after that, and then some weddings and high school reunions kind of throughout summer. We have about 17 events booked so far, which I only started taking them in April, middle of April or first of April. What is today? So not too long. So we've been booking as fast as we can. We just hired Tracy Jump, who worked at the city office and helped Linda with the recording. She's our kind of our event coordinator. She's kind of jumped in today, really was her first real day. Kind of gave her the rundown, and she'll be helping out booking events. I think she'll be great.
So so there will be a minimal loss of revenue by postponing the actual event center opening to mid-November, right?
Yeah, and I talked with the contractors today on a reasonable timeline on how long it would take to get the event center done. And he told me a month, and I told him that's good because I was hoping for less than a month and a half. So I think the biggest reason we pushed things out was material and availability. I mean, railings were out. And then windows were out. Flooring was pretty available, but we just had a lot of key items in the event center that were not going to be available till July or August that we couldn't half tear it up and then just let the event center sit for 3 months. I didn't want to impact golf tournaments, and I didn't want to lose potential revenue for events. So I think we made a good decision on kind of switching where we were focusing, and that gets the kitchen open earlier as well.
Did they have to completely redo all of the electrical in those rooms for the golf simulators?
Yes and no. We had to tear out most of what was in there because they were really segmented per office area. So they had, you know, two rooms in that one office, and they had electrical specifically for there. So we tore out a lot, and not a lot of electrical is going back in. We have projector ceiling. And we have a light for the simulator and then power for the computer and the TrackMan. There's really not much as far as power goes back in there. We'll have some for a drink fridge and some TVs to display TrackMan stuff, and then TV cable. Other than that, it's pretty minimal.
How about for George's Grill? Was it minimal there? Was everything pretty much... up to standard there, or did they have to redo that quite a bit?
We have to cap more things than we're moving. We made some adjustments where new walls were going in and existing walls to save on moving some plumbing and electrical. We're having to cap some drains because we're not using them. We're having to add a couple here and there, but nothing we weren't planning on. Now, I'm happy anytime you guys want to, even if it's individually, come over and walk through. I can kind of give you an overview and update where we're at and where it's going. So feel free to call me or email me or text me and say, hey, I want to come over. And I'm over there at least twice a day walking through and making sure we're not missing anything. Or, you know, today the electrician tore out our brand new speakers and in the kitchen. And I said, those aren't supposed to go anywhere. So I had to put them back in. But anyways, anytime you want to come over and look, I'm happy to walk through with you.
Great.
Question? golf cart timing is how soon? I don't see it on the list here.
So those, we've got a July 5th delivery. They are actually on their way to Salt Lake right now. So they'll be at Highland Golf waiting for us, ready. He's working on getting the GPS company to come install all their GPS units prior to delivery. Normally, we would get the golf carts, and then the GPS company would come and install them here. I'm trying to get them doing at the Highland facility, so when they drop them off, we're ready to send them out and go. I'm working on the back end stuff right now, so we have. I want when they're delivered, we are solid, and I don't have to worry about programming and doing any of that. I want it to be good to go when they get here, because we're July 5th is not a slow day, and we're going to be busy, and we don't have time to set 35 carts out to have them GPS installed. So as far as I understand and moving forward, we're good to go with that schedule. So
thank you. One other question. Can I ask a question about the financial side of things, or are you?
Yeah.
So the revenue stuff is awesome and wonderful, and congratulations to you and the team with everything that's going on. I didn't see the driving range. I don't know if that's but I'm assuming it's off the chart as well.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well on the driving range. I can look at my spreadsheet after I share this, and I can.
It really doesn't matter. I guess my biggest question, because in the world I live on, revenue is important, but only because of the ultimate impact it has on the bottom line. And again, I don't want to go where we're not wanted or it's not our business, but there was a time when the ex-mayor wanted to, you know, get rid of the golf course because it was losing money. I am assuming with the revenues you're generating that we're making money.
Yeah, similar to last year, I've spent more money than I really want to. It'll be under our budget, but I'll get to your point, but I've really, hopefully after this year, our expenses will drop, but our revenue will stay and even increase. We're projecting just a little under $2 million for revenue, and then 1.58, I think, was our expenses. So we'll be in the black again this year as far as what we're projecting.
Okay, so positive cash flow, which is a huge swing from a $300,000 plus loss.
Yeah.
So, okay.
We're ahead, $87,000 to last year, and it would, even with a little bit slower spring, May, June, we have a ton. I've got a lot of tournaments scheduled in June, which is great. I mean, that'll be huge revenue for June. So I think we'll be right at, if not just a little higher than we were last year, and expenses about the same.
So do you mind if I jump in here, Tyler?
Yeah.
Since this is an official meeting of a city body and it's being recorded, I think I would describe what has happened at the golf course is exactly as you described it, Court, where we have positive cash flow, our revenues are exceeding are greater than our expenses for the operation of the course. But in the background, we have some long-term debt with the city. And so I would just say, I would just describe it that way, that the course, though the operations are more than paying for the expenses every year, the course is not out of debt. That won't impact anything this committee does.
Right.
But I just wanted to state for the record, that's the position that the course is in.
And when you say out of debt, you mean from the prior losses?
Yeah, there's a due to the city's general fund of almost $2.5 million. And it's just important when we talk about the success of the course that we remember that there's a long-term obligation, which probably will never be retired. It's not the city's intention to pay that off or anything, but I just wanted to put on the record that the Golf Course Enterprise Fund, this is kind of an accounting issue, has a long-term liability in spite of the fact that our revenues exceed our expenses. So it's nothing you guys need to worry about. I just needed to put it on the record since we've had this.
There's a deficit being carried over from prior years, correct, Ken? Yeah.
Yes, there's a deficit.
An operating deficit.
Right, which I don't believe that the city or the city council, although council member Baskin's here, she could, if she has an opinion, but I don't think there's any intention that we ever go back to retire that deficit. It's not affecting the general operations of the city in any way. It's just on the books, we have a deficit from prior years.
Okay, so Ken, apples to apples, pre-Tyler, we were losing $300,000 in cash flow. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Post-Tyler, we're making $150,000 and we got upside as we worked through expenses and we refined things. Is that correct?
It's more than $150,000, but you are correct.
You're
describing things. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mean to throw cold water on it because I'm sorry I had to do that, but I wanted the minutes to show kind of this part of it, and I don't mean to get the meeting off track. This is a great success story, and so I don't want to throw any ice on that fire.
Didn't you say that you've got $2 million in expenditures and you've brought in 1.5? So, I mean, you have $500,000 extra is what I mean to say.
Yeah, and that then we'll have to include depreciation in there as well as the bond payment. So with those included, I think we'll probably be around the $80,000 to $100,000 in the black is what I'm projecting. So we have our first bond payment, even though we haven't spent all of the money on the construction, we'll have that first payment on our obligation bond we had for the construction, and then depreciation for equipment will be added in there as well.
And the revenue is only going to go up. You have the simulators, we improve the driving range, we increase what's going on in the event center because the event center is current and not totally out of date and dirty. We improved the food coming out. I mean, the future is incredibly bright, and going from $2 to $2.5 million isn't out of the question here in the next few years.
Absolutely, you're exactly right, Court. So all those things combined, and this committee has been so supportive of, you know, the year-round operation of having the simulators is going to produce a tremendous profit too. So anyway, I'm sorry to get us off track. I didn't mean to do that.
No, that's an important note, Ken. And I would also keep in mind that several major capital improvements are now on track. And when you factor those in to the long term viability of the operation, it's just a win-win-win-win. So, I mean, there hadn't been any substantial capital improvements made for several years, and yet the golf course was still operating with a deficit. So now the turnaround is just absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, Ken, though, this brings up an issue that the committee had really raised before, and that is, you know, after we had some time and pretty much have all this work for the bids on the contracting and all out of the way, we really do want to develop a long-range plan, because I think what everybody's talking about, you know, is fine. But, I mean, if we look out 5 years or so, we really need to see, you know, what our revenue needs to be, you know, to cover the expenses and so forth, which tend to increase every year and probably going to increase now more because of inflation. I mean, all the pieces seem to be coming together, but I guess, you know, at some point we really need an operating plan so we can see where we're at, because that would help us and also help the council know what to do when it comes to increasing the fees. In doing things like that. I mean, right now we've increased them just because it makes sense to increase them, but it would really be nice to know exactly how much we have to increase them, you know, to keep this going in the right direction. So I know we're snowed under right now, but I mean, come fall, I'd like to, have some time spent on developing this plan.
I think that's an excellent suggestion, and it's something that you're right. The committee has discussed all along. I think that the real upside to this, in addition to just not having a deficit, is that for the first time, the course will have some capital to reinvest into course improvements, which would presumably will keep us from getting in the same position that we're just crawling out of now, which is not spending anything on the course for 30 years and now having to borrow $3 million to fix that. And so I agree with you. I think we do need a plan, and that's a great note for Tyler and I to take back and work on for the fall.
Yeah, especially timing on it too, as to what needs to be improved when and how, you know, what funds are going to be available and what can we play with.
Yeah, and I think it's exciting that for the first time we can have some funds to make those annual reinvestments in equipment, in sprinkler upgrades, in new pathways, in new landscaping, in other ways to continue to just elevate the golf course experience for our.
Yeah, I hope we can also make sure that our residents know what the phenomenal turnaround has happened at the course.
And yeah.
I don't want to belabor it, but I think Ken, you and the others have said it. It is a phenomenal success story, and we need to make sure that our residents in the city know that. And I think that'll just continue to snowball as people see the tremendous success it's been. And I just, you know, hats off to all of you who have made that happen.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. That's exactly right. We should do that. That's a great story to tell.
On behalf of the council, we couldn't be more pleased with the committee's work and Tyler's jumping right in and leading the way. And it is really remarkable that it could turn around as quickly as it did, despite so many things we had going wrong with the pandemic and whatnot. It's just amazing how well you've done and how everybody's so positive and willing to invest in really are probably one of our greatest assets, if not the greatest asset we have as a city.
Okay, that's always nice to hear. And then Tyler, you've been doing a phenomenal job. So are there more questions on our schedule, or do we want to move on?
One other question, Tyler. So those golf carts are coming into, I guess you said, Taylorsville. Will they be arriving before July if they are able to get those?
No, I've told them we've got to wait till next fiscal year on those to get them.
Okay.
So he brought up a demo of what they'll look like and everything probably about a month ago, and they look awesome. So
it was just a funding issue for you. It wasn't anything, like, in other words, logistically we could have had them, but the money's needed to be there.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, my next note is on water conservation. This is a very complex issue, but I'll try to touch on some of the highlights, where we're at and what will be changing. Many of you have heard or know we have a 60% reduction in our amount of water at the golf course. So from Weber Basin, 800 acre feet drops down to what is allotted not only for us, but also for secondary irrigation, to 320 acre feet. That's not just the golf course, but that's Crest Point. That's some of the other Eaglewood secondary water on there. So our objective is to decrease what we've really used down to 160 acre feet, which is a really major reduction from 2 years ago. I kind of listed out what we've estimated we've used the golf course. So you look 2020, 285 acre feet. And then last year when we had that reduction to 205 acre feet. And then this year we're looking at 160 acre feet. To get to that 60% reduction, on the far left, you can see where we're percentages of where we're watering compared to a normal year. So our greens, for example, we're dropping down 8% to 92%. That's just one area of the golf course that we cannot afford to lose. I mean, if we lost even one green, we would have to tear it up, reseed it, or even bring in sod, which is extremely expensive with bent grass. And then we're losing revenue on, you know, what Bountiful Ridge went through 3 or 4 years ago when their greens got killed from spray. So that's one area we'll really focus on, using wetting agent with fertilizer, aeration, to really help water absorption on the greens. Our next area is tees, and then down to fairways. So tees, we're dropping to 90, and fairways to 65. And then if you look at the rough and native grass, basically not watering at all. And I've got a map I'll show you here. I'm following this slide on Google Earth to kind of show you those mapped out areas. And when I say fairways, right now with our system, we have what are called full circle heads. So they rotate 100 or 360 degrees. So if that one head is on a fairway, that is probably spraying also into some of the rough. So when I say fairways and even greens are not watering just the rough area. And I'll show you on the map kind of what I mean. But it's just kind of a designation of where we have these sprinkler heads at. If they're relatively close to fairways, we consider them a fairway head. If they're on the tees, we consider them a tees, and then greens, obviously, by greens. On the right are just some kind of key strategies that we're going to help us to keep the water what we've got in the grass, help with some impact on what the rough will ultimately turn into, is kind of the brownish, whitish, brown, dormant grass. We'll have to keep cart paths off them as much as possible. We may have to go to cart path only. We're going to be aerating a lot of areas to help with water absorption. We're going to increase our heights of grass, which a lot of people won't like. But rough, for example, you know, almost a half an inch, tees a quarter inch, and then fairways a quarter inch. And that will help. We won't have to put out as much water, because when your grass is higher, it's going to hold in moisture longer. And then it really just depends on what our, it's called evapotranspiration rate, is for how fast, you know, it'll include temperature for the day, wind speeds. It'll really help us calculate how much water we have to put out in those green tees and fairways. And Weston's awesome. I have no doubt in my mind that he will do whatever he can to keep us under that 160 acre feet. He's a really smart superintendent, and have the full faith of him being able to make this work. He's already done all the math. He's looked at the controllers. He's got schedules ready for us. So he's doing great. He's awesome. Humate in the rough, which should help with, you know, days that we get some rain or occasional rainstorms in the spring, summer, fall, help kind of hold that water in longer so the grass can absorb it. The wetting agent spray, like I mentioned, wetting agent is basically, for those who don't know, it's basically a chemical that will help roots absorb more water. So if you get a really drought area, especially on the greens, you'll notice that the water starts to bead on the surface. So it'll almost roll off and it won't absorb into the ground. So this wetting agent actually helps that grass in the ground absorb water into the roots and keep it alive longer. Ultimately, we'll spend less on water, but what we won't spend on water, we'll probably end up spending on chemicals to help the grass keep alive. So it'll be kind of a give and take there to help us go. All of our new irrigation controllers are installed. We're working on it, obviously not the last 2 days of snow, but we're working on mapping those out, getting those organized and ready to go once we turn water on. We've purchased about 120 half head irrigation controllers, where we're gonna change some full head circles into half head. And on the map, I'll show you kind of what I'm referencing there as well. the water department and John Lovato are working on getting us meters on our pumps to help us better calculate what the golf course is actually using. rather than what's just pumped up here. So, and then green surrounds, this is more for future. I mean, I don't see us getting out of this drought next year or the year after, the year after. We're really just preparing and doing some things to help in the future to where if we are in this scenario again, how can we better be prepared? And I think we are a little bit now, but we need to prepare as if this is going to go on for several years. So I'm going to close this. Let me show you this Google Earth here, and I'll share my screen again. Let's see, let me get back to Zoom. Can you still see this here?
Not yet.
Let's see. Okay. Can you see that now?
Yes.
There we go.
All right. So let me kind of give you an overview. I mapped this out kind of even before we knew we were going to be reduced 60%. All of the red areas I planned on watering at 50% of normal rate, and then all of the yellow areas at zero. So really we're cutting out a lot of the golf course that may have been irrigated before to 0%. So let me kind of get us a little more overhead view, and I'll drop down here on number two. So for example, let's talk about those green surrounds and fairway surrounds. So a sprinkler head that might be here, right where my cursor is, that might be considered a fairway head, but that sprinkler head is really going to be watering 360 degrees all the way around. So it's actually watering some rough, it's watering some of the fairway, and then even some of the fairway heads might be reaching into the native. So for example, over here, it's hard to kind of see, but there's actually a sprinkler head right here that waters this whole area. So it goes 360 degrees. This sprinkler head is a type that we're gonna cut out 180 degrees of water. Mm-hmm. So everything in the yellow will no longer be irrigated. And this half head will just be focusing here. And that will happen kind of along a lot of these native lines where we have sprinkler heads on the native and off of the golf course that are sprinklering, 360 degrees. We're going to be cutting a lot of that out. And that will help reduce a lot of our water use. And that's throughout the golf course.
That's great.
A lot of these sprinkler heads on the right side of the cart path on number 9, for example, are all full circle heads. So all of this will be cut out. Some people might not like it. I think it'll be a really cool contrast on the golf course where the native grass will really turn into wildflowers, kind of flowing grass, more of kind of a link style areas rather than low turf that's green. It's really, really difficult to find your golf ball in. I hope it serves us a lot of things. Golf ball easier to play out of if you need to. And do some things in that direction.
Tyler,
uh-huh.
On your cart path only, are you going to try to keep everybody off of the rough then?
Yeah, only because if your grass goes dormant and you have a lot of wear and tear on it, it turns into dirt.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Plus, the carts could actually cause fire too if we're not really careful.
Yeah, and with our new golf carts coming, we'll be able to electronically keep them on the cart path. It'll alert them if you're getting off. It'll shut it off if they do get off. So it'll be a lot easier for us to control that and keep people out of areas we don't want them in.
Oh, good. Okay.
Tyler, how often does the Weber Water District reassess the water allotment? Let's say we end up having a very wet spring, which we're on the way to right now. Do they reassess what water can be used on the golf course or not?
Ken might be able to answer this more, but I would be shocked or surprised if they give us any more allotment.
So what happens when you reach that 630 acre feet?
160.
Yeah, so 300, I think it's 320. As far as I understand, they're going to bill they'll really shut the water off, the Weber Basin.
They will.
We'll be shut off. I mean, if we get that 320, and I talked to Paul Addison, engineer, today on water. My one concern is all of those on secondary water on Eaglewood Loop and Crest Point kind of being the abusers and now cutting the golf course down even lower than what we should be able to use. We're a little bit fortunate in where we will still have access to some culinary water, but the city's culinary water has also been reduced. And if the city goes over that allotment, it's a 200% charge. For every gallon you're going over, they're charging double for those. So, and Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, but we just can't afford to go over that. So we're start praying for some rain, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. How much water are we able to capture and recirculate through the two major ponds on the golf course? Do they help at all, or is it mainly just a real emergency situation with them?
So we do have some ponds or some springs flowing into those ponds. And then we also have some spring water flowing down into Deer Creek. So we do recapture some. We have McNish Well that we get a little bit of water from. We're working on getting the Tunnel Springs spring that's coming down into the well near the pump house down into the pond on number 8 so we can use some of that. We're being creative. Every little bit helps. I think we calculated today it's about 38,000 gallons a day from a couple of these springs. So it's no little amount, but you know, when we water $1.5 million gallons on a full watering of the golf course, 38,000 is just a drop in the bucket. So
this looks really terrific. And maybe this is a question for Ken, but the reason I really wanted this on the agenda is I've been hit by a number of people who say, you know, we can't afford to water the golf course. And what I was hoping we would be able to do is come out with some kind of a proactive, you know, publicity, maybe in the North Salt Lake newsletter, you know, maybe even in the newspapers. You know, few people would realize this plan, which is, you know, meeting requirements. But I think that, you know, we got to take a positive position on this because there are plenty of people out there who don't like the golf course to begin with. And, you know, one of my thoughts really was that maybe the city should be showing how much water is used for the parks, how much water is used for the golf course, how much water is used for all the things, you know, and get a little bit ahead of what's is likely to come. I mean, Tyler was kind of saying, you know, we've been in a drought. They say now we're actually for 20 years and it's not going away anytime soon. And I've never seen these reservoirs as low as they are. And unless we get a tremendous amount of rain, I mean, they're not going to fill up. You know, when you look at Jordanelle from Upper Deer Valley, I mean, it's 3/4 empty. And the amount of water it would take to fill, you know, they drain down. So you got to do Echo and there's one above Echo and then, you know, down to Jordanelle and then down to Deer Creek. I mean, it's not going to happen. So are there any plans, Ken? Or, I mean, can we develop some? And I think we need to do it quickly.
So our newsletter just went out, but for the May newsletter, we're planning on doing a large piece on water conservation. And we'll include this map on the golf course and maps that we have produced that are similar on the city's parks. And so I think that's really important to demonstrate to the public that that the city's also cutting back on its watering. The messaging really is that that the city can reduce our watering of parks and open spaces and the golf course, but we don't want to do millions of dollars of damage to the public's ownership of these facilities, you know? And so we're walking a fine line here on not destroying the golf course, which is now for the first time going to be making some money for us for its own operation, but also the parks, you know, you can't let the parks just you know, go completely damaged and until they have to be rebuilt. And so we're going to try to put that together for the May newsletter, which is about May 15th.
Okay. I mean, I think that would be really beneficial. And like in my own case, I mean, I have a fairly big property, but I've converted almost all my spray heads and all of them will be converted to drip systems, you know, for my gardens and all, because, you know, the amount of water that you use, I mean, is tremendous. And when it was available, you didn't worry too much about it. But I mean, I think maybe the public should be made aware that there's things that they can do. I mean, I know I've had a few neighbors take out their, you know, the strips by the street and put stones in place. And maybe if we got proactive in that way, too, to tell people, well, it's not only what the golf course can do and the parks can do, but it's also what you can do.
But everyone.
I mean, because obviously this is going to become a major problem throughout the whole West. And there's no question about that.
Mr. or Chairman Logan, may I make a comment or two?
Yes, certainly.
Okay. The one thing you said is that there are some negative comments we're hearing about the golf course. And those comments probably existed before we even had a drought. But just despite that, I just wanted to mention something. About 5 years ago, there was a national water study that my husband, who's a retired hydrologist with the USGS, presented to golf course superintendents. And it was at the Oak Ridge. And some of the information that he provided on conservation methods haven't been discussed in this presentation, but some of them we might want to consider. And one that he mentioned was, and we're maybe doing this already, and that is to measure the water depth in all the wells and keep that number current. And then measure the soil water content to regulate the water application. Some places may flood or be wetter than others. So measuring that soil water content. This is probably the one that's a bit controversial, but that is that one could reduce the area of the fairways to reduce the water use. In other words, you mentioned a links course. We could make it truly a links course. I don't know if that would do too much damage in the long haul, but that is an option that he had presented to these people under the National Water Study. And then check also for water features to see if we're having any leakage below the bottom of them, to make sure we're not losing water unnecessarily in that way. And I think all of those might be really great ideas. If you look for the runoff, like you mentioned, there might be pooling or runoff. Those are particular water heads or half heads that even then can be adjusted. But those are some of the ideas that he had suggested I bring to the committee today. And I know we're kind of on a fast track to get this handled now because of the directive that's come down. But if there's any help that we can give beyond that, Tyler, if you want to discuss with him what he had discovered in that National Water Study and also that presentation, we're happy to add that material to everyone's plate to get a little bit more information.
I think Weston and I would appreciate anything and any ideas to help us conserve and keep the golf course alive. So,
good ideas.
At this point, are there more questions on the water conservation or irrigation? I mean, if not, we've pretty much come to an end of our agenda, unless there's any other items anybody would like to bring up. Court?
So I don't know if this is bad. we had a windstorm a few years ago. We lost like 90 trees, and I know it takes water to keep trees alive. So I maybe this is a waste of discussion, and we can't go anywhere. But it, I would just say I miss those trees and would like more trees. Placed in the right places around the golf course. But if we don't have the water, we don't have the water. We finally have the funds to put them back in, but we don't have the water, I guess. So that was one item because I do miss the trees. And then the other thing, and Tyler, I'm not attacking you, but because I want to commend you for what's happening in those outdoor, on those remote restrooms. But you can have the nicest fixtures and nicest fixtures in the whole wide world, and if no one goes in and cleans them, it doesn't make any good. And you can have the worst ones, and if someone goes in and cleans them. So again, I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying that you need to have your guys on a schedule so that they're checking those and monitoring those so that they're, you know, clean.
That's a great point, because right now our maintenance crews is really responsible for the outdoor restrooms, and then my staff's responsible for the indoor restrooms. And that's probably one area we're lacking. I need to get more control and staff helping on both ends. So great point.
Wow.
And to your point on trees, we do have a $5,000 tree budget. I know we have planned to do a couple. Now with this 60% reduction, we're actually worried about losing more trees, especially those in native areas that we're not going to be able to water. I mean, you look on the west side of number 10, I mean, there's 40 trees in the native grass there along the roadside that we're not going to be able to water.
Yeah, I think that's an issue for your long-term strategic plan. I would stay a status quo mode right now. Stay with the status quo, but a year or two down the road, look at tree planting. Like you said, insufficient water right now. So, but make that part of the long-term strategic plan in the future.
Yeah, we're going to have to look at drip systems and running stuff through the native grass off of some of our sprinkler heads to get supplies water to the trees that we really need to keep and really need to harvest.
Drip systems.
Another thing too that can really help, and I'm just starting to investigate myself, but you know, there's plenty of native species of trees that grow with very little water. And you know, most of the plants that we all have at our houses and all are made for, you know, the West Coast or the East Coast where there's a lot of water. And so, you know, in doing this, I mean, you know, like use these things that grow in the desert where there's hardly any water. So, I mean, there's certainly plants we can use. And I believe it's Utah State University.
That's right.
Will actually come out to individual homes and look at your water usage and make suggestions. And maybe they will do it with the golf course too. I mean, it would be nice in this scheme of things, you know, from a public perspective, to have used one of the public universities to give us some recommendations. And if we can follow them, I mean, to me, that would be good publicity to use, because, you know, it's one of the resources available, and unfortunately, not many people use it.
It is a great resource, and go Aggies. But the other thing about that is, when we were doing the day of service as a city, the USU people came to that and explained that their theme for the year is drought resistant plants, drought tolerant plants, and we're very welcoming to people to come and get that information. I think that's something we could put in the newsletter as well, that if you need assistance, they would be more than happy to do that. The other thing I just wanted to ask you is, when we have these committees meetings, and I'm new to this, do we take a formal vote for a recommendation to the city council on particular issues? And in this case, for example, the measures that Tyler has suggested, do we agree with those and recommend those to the city at this point, or where are we on that?
Well, if I can jump in here, I think in the past, this type of thing, since it's worked out between Tyler and Ken, the committee has not taken a vote on it, but we have taken votes on things like getting new golf carts, changing the fee schedule, so that there's community input into that. There's no reason that the committee, you know, couldn't endorse this and then, you know, send it on. But I think it's a situation that it's already operational. So I don't know exactly what a vote would do in this particular case, unless you think it would be very helpful. I mean, we can certainly do it.
Yeah, I'll just chime in with just answering from the question. You started out your question by saying there's, I think you said, there were many committees and you weren't sure exactly how they interact with the council. Maybe that's not exactly what you said, but just from the city manager seat, we ask our committees to take formal votes on business that needs to be approved by the city council. But for items that don't need approval by the city council, we generally are not asking these committees to take any action. So, for example, so in this case, Tyler and Weston's watering plan doesn't require any action on the council's part. I do think it would be good to share with the council, but that's really an administrative function of the city staff and how we operate things. And so it doesn't really need any approval by the city council. Does that make sense?
So the decision that with regard to water conservation on the golf course, you see, is not a policy decision. It's administrative.
I see it as administrative. Now, if the council wants to approve the watering plan, that's a different story, but they haven't said that so far.
Well, we've not been asked so far.
True.
Things have been moving pretty quickly, but I think that the idea of having people who are elected and responsible for decisions that may be both popular and unpopular is part of the job. And the fact that the city council would take a vote and say, yeah, we approve of this conservation measure, I think that that's an important signal to every citizen that this is important to us policy-wise. But in order for us to do that, I think it would be wise for the committee to make a recommendation. That's just the way I think good governance works in my mind.
Okay, Lisa, I mean, that's part of the reason we're very happy to have, you know, a council member as liaison to our committee, because it's helpful to know, because most of us, you know, don't attend every council meeting or have any idea really what's there. So if that's the case, I mean, we certainly could take a vote on this, because I think it is very important. And I think that it would be important for the council to you know, also recommend it. So let's see if we can phrase this.
Chairman Logan, this is what you'll do then. Somebody on the committee will make a motion to recommend approval of the suggested conservation plan or the proposed conservation plan to the city council. And then we vote on it, and then the city council will receive that message that there was official action by the committee as a recommendation.
All right, great. Do we have a member who's willing to make that motion?
Sure. I'll try. I will go over there. I am moved that we provide a recommendation to the city council on the water conservation system that we have projected to be used for 2022 and forward for their recommendation or approval.
I'll second.
That's as close as I can do it.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Okay. And we have a second.
I second. So,
okay. And I see, Ron, you're Janet there too, but it's all right.
I'm sorry.
But so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right. We can mark that as unanimous. And I think at this point, we're at the end of the agenda again. So if there's no other business, would somebody make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Move forward, motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All right. It's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We could just leave. All right. Thank you very much, Tyler, for the great presentation. We appreciate the work that you're doing.
Okay.
And appreciate everybody on the committee's help as well. I know that there's a lot of interaction between committee meetings that goes on. So, anytime that you need help from any of us, please just reach out and, we'll all be willing to give you a hand. So thank you, everybody. And I guess our next meeting will be the second Wednesday in May.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.